ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
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 नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्तं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर भवती नैष्टिकी। श्रीमद् भागवतम सेकेंड कैंटो चैप्टर 10 टेक्स्ट 3
भूता
मात्रेन्द्रिय
धियाम जन्म
सर्ग उदारहितः ब्रह्मणो पुनः वैषम्यात् विसर्गः पौरुषः स्मृतः। भूतमात्रेन्द्रिय धियाम जन्म सर्ग उदाहृतः ब्रह्मण्य गुणवैषम्या विसर्ग पौरुषस्मृतः। भूतमात्रेन्द्रिय धियाम जन्म सर्ग उदारहितः ब्रह्मणो गुणवैषम्या विसर्ग पौरुषस्मृतः। भूतमात्रेन्द्रिय धियाम जन्म सर्ग उदारहितः ब्रह्मणो गुणवैषम्या विसर्ग पौरुषस्मृतः।
भूतमात्रेन्द्रिय
धिया
जन्म सर्ग उदाहृतः ब्रह्मणो
गुणवैषम्या
विसर्ग पौरुषः स्मृतः।
भूतमात्रेन्द्रिय धिया
भूतमात्रेन्द्रिय
धिया
Very good. Okay.
Bhuta matre indriya dhiya. Janma sarga udharita.
Very good. No one from the girl side? Okay. Manika?
Bhuta matre indriya dhiya.
Bhuta matre indriya dhiya.
Janma sarga udharita.
Janma sarga udharita.
Brahmano guna vaishyam.
Brahmano guna vaishyamya.
Brahmano guna vaishyamya.
Very good. Okay. So just follow that principle and you'll be able to memorize. What is the principle? First, try to understand the meaning of the words, which I didn't do today. Then, repeat. Repetition helps us to remember. Then, systematically try to remember the first word of each line. And if you get the first word of first line, you will remember the verse. Then, at least you will get the first line. Then you get the first word of the second line, first word of the third line, first word of the fourth line. And still, if you didn't get to memorize it, then write it down in a piece of paper and try to remember it from time to time. And if you get stuck, then look at that writing on the paper. So this is the third verse of the tenth chapter of the second canto. This chapter is entitled as Bhagavatam is the answer to all questions. Previous to that, in the ninth chapter, we studied how Bhagavatam is spoken by the Supreme Personality of Godhead to Lord Brahma, and it was presented in just four verses. But those four verses actually describe everything. These four verses describes every possible understanding about the spiritual reality. And at the beginning of this chapter, what did we learn? That the spiritual understanding is presented in 10 aspects, describing 10 different characteristics. The entire spiritual understanding is presented in this 10 aspects or 10 characteristics of this Bhagavat Puran. Bhagavatam is the ultimate understanding. Bhagavatam is the from whichever way we approach, Bhagavatam is the ultimate understanding and the ultimate answers to all questions. So first three verses of Chatushloki describes, what is the first verse describing? Who remembers? Okay, Shraddha's hand went up first. Shraddha?
Krishna told that before the universe was created, I was there, even if the nature was not there. And when the material world is prevailing, then also I am there. And after it will get destroyed, when nothing will be there, I will be there.
Okay. Do you remember the verse? Okay, say it. What are you looking at? Are you looking at something? Okay. Okay, go ahead. Paschadaham. Very good. And what is described in the second verse? Okay, tum bolo. Say.
Vityatam. Vityatam yatritiye nabritiye te shatmani tat vidyat atmana avaso.
Atmana mayam. Atmana mayam.
Atmana mayam.
Yatha bhasho.
Yatha avaso yatha utmana.
Very good. Iska artha kya hai? Angrezi mein bolo. Okay, who will describe the meaning? Okay, only three hands went up. Okay, so you say, do you
Bangla?
Why Bangla? English class as well. Say it.
Whatever appears to be a penny guru, if it is without relation to me, has no reality. What is my original energy? And that reflection appears, that reflection appears
in that. Okay. So what appears to be real, what appears to be there, but if it is not in relation to Krishna, then it doesn't have any existence. It is illusory, maya. Yatha bhasho, abhasho, tad vidyat atmano mayam. Know that to be maya. So what is the reality then? The reality is what Krishna and everything in relation to Krishna. If something is not related to Krishna, it's not real. It is maya. And what is maya? Maya is like a reflection in darkness. And the third verse? Okay. Tatha teshu na teshu. Okay. The meaning?
Meaning the
simple meaning is that Krishna, although he is in everything, is not.
Not in them.
Just like all the elements.
Just like
the element,
all the elements.
In the cosmos and the self, and do not enter
them. Although it is, it has entered in everything, but still they're not in. They're still outside. So these are the three principles that Krishna is the cause of all causes, and if something is not related to Krishna, then they are not real. And if it is, although Krishna is in everything, but yet Krishna is away from everything. Krishna is not in them. Krishna is in everything. Andantarastha paramanuchayantarastha. Krishna is in the heart of the universe. At the same time, Krishna is also in every single atom. Although he is in every single atom, he is in everybody's heart, yet he is not there. That doesn't mean that Krishna is not there. Krishna is there. But goloko eva nivasati, and that point has been explained in Brahma Samhita in this way. Goloko eva nivasati akhila atma bhuto. Although Krishna is residing in Golok Vrindavan, yet he is in Akhilatma Bhuto. He is in the heart of every living entity. What does it actually mean? It is simply indicating Krishna's inconceivable potency. Krishna can be in Golok Vrindavan, Krishna can be in every single Vaikuntha, Krishna can be everywhere in the spiritual sky, yet Krishna is here in the material nature, in the heart of every living entity, and in every single atom. So that is why Krishna is God. Can you be like that? Can you be here in this class and at the same time can you be also in the temple room? You can't be in two different places. Right? And still you are claiming you are God. Right? See, what a fallacy it is. People are saying, I am God. People claim that they are God. But if they are God, then let them display this quality. Goloke eva nivasati akhilatma. Can you claim that we are in everybody's heart? I don't know whether I am in my heart even. To claim to be in everyone's heart. Actually, God is God. Under all circumstances, Krishna is God. And only Krishna can say that because of his inconceivable potency, because he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's why he can do all these things. Everywhere we find God's inconceivable potency. Like God said, let there be light, and there was light. Now that light is gone, can you say, let there be light? Although we want there should be light, but we can't. According to our desire, things don't happen. But with Krishna, just by his will, everything happens. He just says, he just desires. Let there be. Not only let there be light, let there be material creation. And immediately, the whole material creation becomes manifest. In no time, that is the potency of Krishna. So that's what has been very clearly presented in Srimad Bhagavatam. So in these three verses, we got this understanding. And what has been explained in the fourth verse of Chatushloki. Okay, Krishna Chan.
Etavadeva jinyasyam tattva jinyasanatmana anvayavyatire kabhyam yat syat sarvatra sarvada.
Okay, so what does it mean?
Etavad, up to this eva, it has to be, jinyasyam has to be inquired about tattva jinyasana by one who wants to know.
But not, it should be, it can be. This is the limit. There is nothing beyond this. We cannot go beyond this. Right? I mean, this is the limit. Etavadeva jigyasam, and by whom? Cha tattva jigyasunatmana. And how?
Anvaya vidreka.
Meaning?
Directly and indirectly.
Directly and indirectly, and?
Yat syat sarvata sarvata. That which is existing all the time everywhere.
Yeah. Under any circumstances, by anyone, directly or indirectly, this is the limit of their questions. And? All these questions can be answered up to that extent. You have any question? It's answered by Srimad Bhagavatam. Vidya Bhagavatavadhi. Knowledge can only limit, go up to Srimad Bhagavatam. So that is Srimad Bhagavatam. Somehow we wanted light and there was light. So, then what happened? Then it has been pointed out that Bhagavatam actually has 10 characteristics. Bhagavat Puran's description has 10 characteristics. Those 10 characteristics are, like two are there here, dealt with here. The first two are Sarga and Visarga. Sarga, Atra sarga visargascha, then sthanam poshanam utayah. Very good. We have a real learned assembly. Thank you. So, bhuta, the five gross elements. The sky, etc. Matra, objects perceived by the senses. Indriya, the senses. Dhyam, of the mind. Janma, creation. Sargaha, manifestation. Udaritaha, is called the creation. Brahmanah. Of Brahma. The first Purusha. Guna Vaishamya. By interaction of the three modes of nature. Visargaha. Recreation. Recreation. Not recreation. Recreation means entertainment. But recreation. Re means created. Re creation. Again. Created. Purushaha. Resultant activities. Smritaha. It is so known. Translation by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. The elementary creation of 16 items of matter, namely the five elements, fire, water, land, air and sky, sound, form, taste, smell, touch, and the eyes, ears, nose, tongue, skin and mind, is known as sarga, whereas subsequent resultant interaction of the modes of material nature is called visarga. Sarga and visarga. So sarga is dealing with the 16 principal elements. Very simple. What are those 16 elements? Five elements. Earth, water, fire, air, ether. Five knowledge acquiring senses. Eyes, ears, nose, tongue and touch, and five knowledge acquiring, five working senses, hands, legs, anus, belly and genitals, and mind. How many you got? 3 fives are 15 plus 1 16. What is mind? Mind is the internal sense. There are these other 10 are external. Knowledge acquiring senses and working senses. Karmendriya and Gyanendriya. There, 5 and 5, 10. But the mind is the Antarendriya, internal sense. So these 16 are considered to be sarga. And what is visarga? Visarga is the interaction of the modes of the material nature. A resultant interaction of the modes of material nature is called visarga. Please repeat after that, after me. The elementary creation of 16 items of matter.
The elementary creation of 16 items of matter.
Namely, the five elements.
Namely, the five elements.
Fire, water, land, air and sky.
Fire, water, land, air and sky.
Sound, form, taste, smell, touch.
Sound, form, taste, smell, touch.
And the eyes, ears, nose, tongue, skin and mind.
And eyes, ears, nose, tongue, skin and mind.
Oh, I see. I made a mistake actually. I said the five working senses. No, it is actually five tanmatras. Five objects of the senses. What are those five objects of the senses? Chokhu, karno, rup, rosh, gandha, shabda and sparsha. Sound, form, taste, smell, touch, and sound, form, taste, smell, and touch. And the eyes, ears, nose, tongue, skin, and mind is known as sarga, whereas subsequent resultant interaction of the modes of material nature is called visarga. Okay. So, purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. In order to explain the 10 divisional symptoms of the Srimad Bhagavatam, there are 7 continuous verses. The first of these under reference, pertains to the 16 elementary manifestations of earth, water, etc., with material ego composed of material intelligence and mind. The subsequent creation is a result of the reactions of the above mentioned 16 energies of the first Purusha, the Mahavishnu incarnation of Govinda. As later explained by Brahma in his treatise, Brahma Samhita, as follows. Ya karanar navajale bhajatisma yoga nidram ananta jagadanda saroma kupa adhara shaktim avalambya parang swamurtim govindam adipurusham tamaham bhajami. The first Purusha incarnation of Govinda, Lord Krishna, known as the Mahavishnu, goes into yoganidra, mystic sleep, and the innumerable universes are situated in potency in each and every hair hole of his transcendental body. As mentioned in the previous verse, Shrutena, or with reference to the Vedic conclusions, the creation is made possible from the Supreme Personality of Godhead directly by manifestation of his particular energies. Without such a Vedic reference, the creation appears to be a product of material nature. Otherwise, creation appears to be a product of the material nature. But when we make an approach from the Vedic reference, when we look at it from the Vedic reference, then we get a proper understanding. The cause of creation is not material. Although the effect is material, but the cause is non-material. The cause is spiritual. This conclusion comes from a poor fund of knowledge. From Vedic reference, it is concluded that the origin of all energies, namely internal, external and marginal, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What are those three energies known as in Sanskrit? Internal, external and marginal? How many of you know? Raise your hand. Okay, they are known as Antaranga, Bahiranga and Tatastha. Antaranga is the spiritual energy, spiritual sky. Bahiranga is the material nature. And Tatastha, the marginal, is living entity. What is the meaning of marginal? What does it indicate? Marginal. Marginal. Yes, Paru?
Marginal means that living entities are in between spiritual world and material world, and according to their, if they surrender to Krishna, they go to spiritual world, and if they are not surrendered, then they go to...
Very good. Marginal, margin means? The border, the separation, the separating line, marginal. So where are the jivas? Jivas are the marginal energy of the Lord. Marginal means... it's not that there is a line and all the jivas are placed on that line. Marginal means the living entities have the option to either go to the spiritual sky or go to the material nature. He has his freedom. He can decide whether to stay in the material nature or to stay in the, go to the spiritual world. Like, for example, where are we now? We are in the material nature. But if we want to go to the spiritual nature, we can go to the spiritual nature. But the question is, what is the method? What is the way? What is the procedure? How to do that? How do we go back to the spiritual world? And Parul did mention that when a living entity becomes surrendered to Krishna, it goes to the spiritual world. If a living entity is averse to Krishna, he stays in the spiritual nature, material nature. What is our situation here? The living entity's situation in the material nature is they are averse to Krishna. And what we are trying to do now? We are trying to somehow develop our attraction to Krishna. Develop our attachment to Krishna. And this begins with the process of surrender. You surrender, you will develop your attachment to Krishna. You surrender, Krishna will make it happen. To be a devotee, we can't be a devotee actually. We cannot become devotees. If Krishna wants us to become his devotee, then only we can become devotees. And Krishna wants us to become his devotees, and Krishna made all kinds of arrangements to make us devotees. So we simply have to take advantage of that. For example, Krishna came and spoke Bhagavad Gita, and in Bhagavad Gita Krishna said, surrender unto me. So if we surrender unto Krishna, following Krishna's instruction, we can become a devotee. Krishna sent his devotees to guide us in our spiritual life. If we take the guidance, we can become devotees. But it all must begin with surrender and faith. We must surrender unto Krishna. And if we become surrendered to Krishna, then we become eligible to go back to the spiritual world. If we are defined to Krishna, then we will be suffering in this material nature. The three energies, origin of all energies, are internal, external, and marginal, is the Supreme Personality of God. The origin of all energies, especially the spiritual energy, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself. And as explained herein before, the illusory conclusion is that creation is made by the inert material nature. The Vedic conclusion is transcendental light, whereas the non-Vedic conclusion is material darkness. The Vedic conclusion is transcendental light, whereas the non-Vedic conclusion is material darkness. The internal potency of the Supreme Lord is identical with the Supreme Lord. The internal potency of the Lord is identical to the Lord. And the external potency is enlivened in contact with the internal potency. The parts and parcels of the internal potency which react in contact with the external potency are called marginal potency or the living entities. The Prabhupada explained that very beautifully. The parts and parcels of the internal potency which react in contact with the external potency are called the marginal potency or the living entities. So the living entities are minute parts and parcels of the internal energy of the Lord. And that reacts with the external potency. So this parts and parcel from the internal potency of Krishna reacts with the material nature. Prakriti sthani karshati. It tries to exploit the material nature, tries to enjoy the material nature. Jajidam dharjate jagat. With the contact of the external, this parts and parcels of the internal energy which reacts with the external potency are called the marginal potency or the living entities. Thus the original creation is directly from the Supreme Personality of Godhead or Param Brahman, and the secondary creation as a reactionary result of the original ingredients is made by Brahma. The original ingredients are given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the secondary creation is made possible by Brahma by the secondary creation as a reactionary result of original ingredients. Reactionary results. Thus the activities of the whole universe are started. In this way, the entire creation began. So, Sarga and Visarga is explained here in this way. Sarga is the original creation, the principal creation, and Visarga is the secondary creation. Who conducts the Sarga aspect? Mahavishnu. So this is the Vedic understanding. And an interesting thing to note is that all the Vedic scriptures accept the same principle. They describe the same. There are different Puranas, but all Puranas will find the secret of creation is this. Mahavishnu is lying in the causal ocean, he is breathing, and he is lying and he has gone to sleep. Why sleep? Because in this aspect, Mahavishnu is not going to act. Because Mahavishnu, in which nature Mahavishnu is, and in which nature Mahavishnu acts? In the spiritual nature, right? But now that he has coming to manifest the material nature, coming in and has to deal with the material nature indirectly though. But how does he do that? He becomes inactive. And that is his sleep. He fell asleep. Because he has nothing to do about this nature. He is not actively involved. He is not active anymore. He is falling asleep. But what kind of sleep? Yoganidra. And another aspect of this creation is Mahavishnu glances towards Maya. And as a result of the glance, Maya becomes agitated. Maya becomes agitated. And as a result of that agitation, the material creation becomes manifest. And how does Maya become agitated? Mahavishnu's glance. Through the glance of Mahavishnu, the spirit souls are projected in Maya. And these living entities are causing this material nature to become manifest again. When the living entities come to the material nature becomes manifest. When the living entities are withdrawn from the material nature, then the material nature becomes unmanifest. We can also see individually, when I am here, this nature is manifest. Isn't it? When you are here, this nature is manifest to you. But when I die, what will happen? Will this nature be there? It will not be there. It will become unmanifest to me. Now if all the living entities, if there is no living entity, will the material nature be manifest? No. So that is the secret. It's the living entity's appearance in the material nature makes the material nature become manifest back there. And when all the living entities are withdrawn from the material nature becomes abhyakta. Abhyakta dini bhutani vyakta madhani bharat. This material nature has these two phases, vyakta stage and abhyakta stage. So when the living entities are projected into the material nature becomes manifest. And it is done through the glance of Mahavishnu. Mahavishnu looks at the material nature. And material nature, I mean, through the glance, all the living entities are projected in the material nature. And as a result of that, the material nature becomes manifest. And this glance, again, has been explained in Brahma Samhita, as we discussed the other day. That glance is sambhu. Ja sambhutam api tatha samupaiti karjat. Lord Shiva is that glance. And it is through Lord Shiva, through that glance, that living entities come to the material nature. And thus the material nature becomes manifest. Sarga. And then the next part, Visarga, is executed by Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma, generally what does Lord Brahma do? Lord Brahma gives the appropriate bodies to different living entities. Sub-creation. Started by Brahma and Brahma's assistants. They are doing this job. So this is the first two aspects of Sarga, Sarga and Visarga. And then it will, in the next three other verses, the other eight aspects will be described. Atra, Sarga, Visargascha. Then what will be? Sthanam, Poshanam, Utaya, Manvantara, Ishanu Katha, Nirodha, Muktir, Ashraya. Very good. A little pressure and you memorize. Isn't it nice to... And it'll be so impressive. You speak to people and you just start reciting these verses. Srimad Bhagavatam, you can go and tell those pandits. Tell me, what is Bhagavatam? You can ask them. They are giving Bhagavat Katha. They just describe some very fascinating stories in a very fascinated way with a big musical band. But do they deal with all these aspects of Srimad Bhagavatam? You ask them, you know, what are the Bhagavatam has got 10 characteristics. What are those 10 characteristics? Then you can say, Atra Sarga Visargascha. And that is the difference between Srila Prabhupada's presentation and others' presentation. Srila Prabhupada, what is the purpose of Bhagavatam? What is the purpose of Srimad Bhagavatam? The purpose of Srimad Bhagavatam is to make everyone into a devotee of Krishna. Isn't it? Purpose of Bhagavatam is to make the conditioned souls into devotees of Krishna. Now when we read Prabhupada's books or hear Prabhupada's presentation, then what happens? We become devotees. How many of you here became devotees of Krishna? Don't feel shy. I know devotees are very humble. So, how did you become devotees of Krishna? Navin? Prabhupada's books. Before that, did you ever think of becoming a Krishna Bhakta? Did you know who Krishna is?
I've heard of Krishna.
Heard of Krishna. Okay. What about you, Rishi?
Yeah, I can feel your
Yeah, but before Prabhupada? And before coming in contact with ISKCON devotees?
Heard of Krishna.
You heard of Krishna, never heard of Krishna. Although you are a Rishi, you never heard of Krishna. And? So that's the thing, like you came in contact with Srila Prabhupada, you got to know about Krishna and became devotees of Krishna. But you step out of ISKCON, there people may be speaking about Bhagavatam, maybe thousands of people are attending, but how many are becoming devotees of Krishna? From those Bhagavat Kathas, did you find people becoming devotees of Krishna? Somebody was telling me yesterday that all they do is make arrangements for money. Before they give this many of these Bhagavat Katha cards, their main purpose of this Bhagavat Katha is to make money. They make agreement. You have to give us so much money. Then only I'll go and speak. So their interest is not to make people into devotees of Krishna. Their interest is to reach out to their pocket and take their money. That is how we have to understand the potency of Srila Prabhupada's presentation. And Prabhupada made devotees to whom? Made whom into devotees? Not Indians. Americans, Europeans, Africans, Chinese, Japanese. They all became devotees who never had any connection with Krishna consciousness. Now, of course, many Indians are coming, but those days there were very few Indians. Chaitanya Chandra Prabhu, when did you join?
1977.
How many devotees were there in your temple at that time? How many Indian devotees were there at that time? Really, you are the only Indian. Yeah. Which temple did you join?
Ahmedabad.
You joined in Ahmedabad. Okay. And I think Jasamati was the only Indian.
Right.
And yourself.
Yeah.
Huh? And rest were all Americans.
All Americans.
Right. Prabhupada used to tell me at times. Prabhupada told me a few times. He used to lament. The Indians are not coming. And because they were not listening to Srila Prabhupada's teachings. They were thinking these ISKCON devotees, these American devotees, European devotees, they're CIA. They used to think, when we want to go to America, why the Americans are coming to India? We want to go to America and make money. Why these Americans are leaving everything and coming to India? They must have some. They must have some ulterior agenda, hidden agenda. They must be CIA. When I joined, that was a very common understanding. And once in a big lake, big assembly, big program, that I boldly I declared, yes, we are CIAs. It was in Calcutta. Calcutta was, I think, the worst of all places. That, although it's the place of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance and activity, but it has become communist. Communist means atheist. That place has become atheistic. Anyway, so those days it was even worse, I would say. And I said, and when I said that, we are CIAs, like there must have been a few thousand people in a very big gathering in a big park in Calcutta, which was organized by a group of different religious groups. Quite a few devotees, quite a few big people came from Vrindavan also, and Benares, and there was a big assembly, and I was representing ISKCON. And I said, that must have been about 80, 81. And I said, people think that we are CIAs. And we are CIAs. It was pin drop silence. And then I said, we are Chaitanya's intimate associates. And the whole crowd broke up in roar of acclaim, laughter and clapping. It had a very nice effect. Quite a few people came and joined the movement at that time. But as the time passes, people will become more and more aware of the purpose of Krishna consciousness movement. And it's important that the Indians take part. India's participation is very, very important, because this is India's spiritual asset. This is India's heritage. This is India's most important wealth. And the whole world wants it. Whole world wants it. But who will distribute? Because Indians were not coming, that's why the Americans were distributing. Prabhupada, he was fed up with India. Prabhupada was trying to preach in India, but the response was very pathetic. Response was very, very painful. Prabhupada started League of Devotees. The first institution that Prabhupada established was called the League of Devotees in Jhansi. And Prabhupada had a house where he started. But they took away that house. The governor's wife took away that house from Prabhupada. Why? Because she wanted to make a Mahila Samiti. She was the governor's wife. She could have got any place. But she was so envious that she took that house away from Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada could have contested, but Prabhupada didn't do that. He said, what's the point in fighting? Prabhupada left. Before Prabhupada went to America, he initiated one devotee, one person. But that person did not help him at all. That's why Prabhupada had to go to America. And when Prabhupada went to America, who came forward? The young American boys and girls. And with them Srila Prabhupada started the International Society for Krishna Consciousness in New York. Not in a very grand way, in a very small way actually. That where Prabhupada started his movement in 1966 in 26 Second Avenue, that room was even smaller than this room. Maybe even just little more than a half of this room. Little wider, length probably will be that much. That's how Prabhupada started the movement. But he named it the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Small little storefront he was starting. But International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Because Prabhupada knew what would happen. He knew what would happen. When Prabhupada didn't even have that center. At that time, Prabhupada was struggling. One day Prabhupada met one gentleman. The gentleman was curious to see Srila Prabhupada. In 65, there were not many Indians in America. So naturally, it attracts everybody's attention. Now there are so many Indians. So many Indians in America. But those days, Indians were really rare. So this person must have been curious to see Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada was sitting in a bench, so he came, sat next to him and started to speak to Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said that he just came to America and and he's from India, and Prabhupada told him everything. And then Prabhupada started to tell him that he has many temples, many all over the world. And so the man said that, but you just said that you just came to America the other day, and now you are saying that you have many temples and you have so many devotees and so forth, so many followers. Prabhupada said, yes, they are there, but time is separating. They are not manifest. They will, in course of time, they will become manifest. And what a prophetic statement was that. Prabhupada was, he was telling that, yes, they will. They are there, but they haven't become manifest as yet. Just a matter of time. Give me 5 years. And then you will see what I am speaking about, talking about. So that is how clear Srila Prabhupada's vision was about the future of this movement. And in this way then Prabhupada sent the Americans to India to preach. Indians would not come to preach, to help him. So Prabhupada had to send the Americans to Calcutta and Vrindavan and Bombay. And then Indians became curious. Oh, the Americans have become sadhu. So let's chalo, dekhte hai kya ho raha hai. Some pious people thought, let us go and see what they are doing. And the others thought that they must be CIA. They must be CIA. Otherwise, why should Americans become? Why Americans will be wearing dhotis and kurta when we don't wear dhotis and kurta? When we don't shave our heads, why these Americans are shaving their heads? When we drink alcohol, why they are giving up alcohol? So this is how these people started to think. So they must be CIA. But at least in last 30 years that misconception has been over. Like I remember there was a big controversy in 1988. Some big army officer wanted me to give a presentation in the army headquarters. And there was a big controversy whether they would allow me to, but finally they stopped. The high officials, the higher authorities felt that it won't be proper to let me, a member of ISKCON, come and speak to the army. Give a presentation to the army. But recently I was invited to the army headquarters in Meerut, and they invited me to give a presentation. And not only that, they requested me to make this kind of presentations to other places also. So, and I was telling them a big change that has taken place. And of course they did not take it that way. They told me, I mean naturally they didn't want to admit their defects at that time. They said actually we are becoming more open to spiritual thoughts and spiritual practices because we are seeing the benefit of it. And and in that presentation there were many high-ranking officers. There was generals, brigadiers, all these very high-ranking, and they had interesting questions. Very interesting questions. And they invited me to their houses. I'm seeing how open they are becoming now. But those days, because I was ISKCON devotee, they wouldn't let me speak to the army because they thought, even the army was thinking that probably we are CIA. And if we make our way into the army headquarters, probably it may be very dangerous. Okay, does anybody have any question? Yes.
Guru Maharaj, I have question in two parts. First part is that the 84 lakh species of life that Brahma created, how does this 84 lakh figure come out? And then the other part of it is that, is it that because Brahma is a secondary creator and Brahmas change, so is it that every Brahma makes the same set of 84 lakh because does not he have any individual taste separate from other Brahmas?
Yeah. It's these 8,400,000 species of lives are just like, you know, different models. And, you know, different souls, according to the subtle bodies, they have fitted into those models. They are there. 8,400,000 species. How do we know? We don't know. But Brahma knows. And because it's coming from Brahma, he knows, because he is the creator, that there are 8,400,000 species. Yeah. If we start to calculate, we'll get completely confused. We won't be able to understand. Just like, say, if you go to the Boeing factory, there they know all the parts that are there in the Boeing aircraft. Because they're making it. So they know. But if you or I want to try to find out what are the different parts of Boeing aircraft, it'll be very, very difficult. Right? We may see one part, but maybe inside that there are 25 different parts that we are not aware of. So that is the advantage of receiving knowledge from a higher authority. Right? From descending process. Knowledge. The one who has the knowledge, if he gives it, it becomes easy. But if I have to deduct everything by my own by my own intelligence and perceptions, it'll become, especially when it's such an intricate and such a vast subject matter, it's impossible for us. Now, as you were saying, the structures, you see, like the universal structures is the same. 14 planetary systems, and yes, 8,400,000 species of life. Not that only in this universe there are 8,400,000 species. Every universe has. That is the number. And the number also is taking coming different species according to the modes. 3 multiplied by 3, multiplied by 3, multiplied by 3, multiplied by 3. Different combinations. 30% goodness, 20% passion, 50% ignorance. One species. 31%. 19%, 50%, another species. So in this way, right, there are 8,400,000 species according to the degree of modes of nature, and which is in relation to their karma. So guna, karma, vibhagasaya. Or prakriti kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasha. Okay. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande.